But today we're going to be in Genesis 3. We left off the story last week. We only covered one verse. In the beginning, God created. Now some of you are thinking this is going to take like forever to get through the Bible if this is the way he does it. But in the rest of chapter 1, God goes into detail about creation. You learn about the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, everything that exists. In chapter 2, God gives you a little bigger detailed picture of the creation of Adam and Eve. Because they were the top priority. They were the ones that were made in his image. We were the ones that were given souls, eternal destinies. And then in chapter 3, the wheels fall off. And this is the beginning of the curse. If you remember the story, God put Adam and Eve in a garden called the Garden of Eden. He said, it's all yours. You don't have to work. You don't have to pay any bills. You don't have any taxes. You don't have any governments. Everything is free and good. In fact, God said it is very good. One deal, one tree, leave it alone. All right? That was the deal. All right? If you don't know it, it's in Genesis 3. God said there's one tree you cannot eat from, leave it alone. Now, you need to understand the Garden of Eden. Because if you have in your head a garden plot, you've sadly misunderstood the Garden of Eden. It tells us that four rivers ran through that garden. The Tigris, the Euphrates, the Pishon, and the Gihon. I think the Pishon and the Gihon are the Ganges and the Nile, which would make at the very least from India to Egypt and all of the Middle East. We're talking about a large garden. All right? Are you with me now? So it's not like there's three trees. Okay? There are millions of trees. And God said, one tree, leave it alone. Satan shows up and says to Eve, God didn't mean that. He's just trying to keep you from knowing all the stuff he knows. It'll be okay. And she took the fruit from the tree and she ate it. And then she said, Adam, you got to try this. And it's kind of been downhill ever since. Now, don't you wonder in this story why Eve never questions the fact that a serpent is talking to her? All right, I'm just going to mess you up. Once you're so deep in it, you just go for it, right? What if, all right, and don't throw me under the bus. Just listen, okay? If evolution happened and everything is going from disorder to order, which is ridiculous, then you'd expect one thing. But if creation happened, everything was perfect at creation and it's been unwinding, yes? What if all the animals could talk? Because it doesn't seem to bother Eve that the serpent talked to her. Wouldn't you like to talk to your dog? Well, maybe you wouldn't want to talk to you. Maybe you don't want to hear what your dog has to say. But the point is, Eve gave in to sin, Adam gave in to sin, and the world has been a mess ever since. And that's what we're going to look at today. There was a literature class where the professor got up and he put a statement on the board, and here was the statement. Woman without her man is nothing. Yeah, that got the room quiet last night, too. Yeah. All right. The literature teacher said, I want you to properly punctuate this sentence. So the men punctuated it this way. Woman without her man is nothing. The women punctuated it this way. Woman without her man is nothing. Now, you didn't have to get that excited about it. All right, listen. Here's what Genesis tells us. Mankind without God is nothing. You take God out of the equation. We talked about it last week. We become a group of atoms and molecules and cells and random mutations. And anything goes and everything goes. Either that is true or we are indeed a product of the divine, of the Almighty, who has designed us specifically, individually. No DNA like yours anywhere in the world. You and I are a gift from God made in His image. Fallen. As we're going to see as we go through this. And we're going to talk today about the curse. But the amazing thing to me is we want to blame everybody else. We're really good at this. In fact, the quickest thing to do is to blame Adam and Eve, isn't it? Doggone it. If they'd have just left the tree alone, like we would have. See, that's the problem. When you start blaming other people, you realize. And here's what I have learned in my years of life. I have learned that some people do get cursed. I think that does happen. But for every person I've seen get cursed, there are 99 who've cursed themselves. You've chosen it. You have chosen to curse your life. You've chosen to curse your marriage. I've seen churches that have chosen to curse themselves. Am I telling the truth? It's really simple. Listen, don't tell me if you went to see this movie because you don't want to be embarrassed afterwards. But The Wolf of Wall Street, I read online about it. 3-hour movie, all right, in itself, gone. Sorry, you don't get 3 hours of my life. In a 3-hour movie, they use the F word 508 times. Now, okay, we could talk about the spiritual, the social ramifications. But let me ask you this. Just from a literary standpoint, I mean, you've got to really hire some genius writers to put together. That's like two in a minute, two every minute throughout the movie. And I'm sure that wasn't the only word used. So if you go to that movie, you just put your life under a curse. You just cursed yourself. Now, that's just one example, but I watch people do that to their families, to their marriages, to their children. You're cursing yourself. You can't blame Adam. But the truth is, Adam's disobedience to God has a devastating effect on all of us, and we're still reeling from it. If you get your Bibles out, because you're going to need them, iPhones, iPad, whatever technology you brought, stand out of respect for God's Word. We're going to look at verse 14 to 19. Of Genesis 3. This is after the serpent has done his work. So the Lord God, the Almighty, the Supreme, said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust all the days of your life." Now, it does not tell us what he was doing before. Some have suggested he walked. Others have suggested that he flew. That the serpent had wings, that God grounded him. And maybe that's what happened. But you want to know why the snake's on the ground? That's why he's there. "I will put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman." 6,000 years later, there's a few of you coconuts that like snakes. Most of us have a hatred of snakes. "Between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, God said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." You can be seated. Do you think God's just a little bit angry at Adam, at Eve, at the serpent? God is very angry at sin. We need to understand that concept as we go through this, because we like to think, oh, there's no cost to my decision. But listen, every decision we make has a cost. Accepting Jesus has cost. Not accepting Jesus has a cost. Going here has a cost. Not going here has a cost. But everything that you and I do has some kind of a cost attached to it. Did you see the story out of California? The illegal immigrant that just got his law license, got admitted to the California bar. All right. I'm working on this one. Okay. He got a unanimous vote from the California Supreme Court. Now, granted, it's in San Francisco, but a unanimous vote to let an illegal alien, a guy who is breaking the law, become a lawyer in the state of California, and he says his goal is to run for governor. So the governor of California will not be a citizen of the United States, nor a citizen of California. Am I the only one that's crazy? I mean, what's going on here? But that's what happens once you step outside of the boundaries of truth. You begin to do things, and somehow it makes sense. In fact, the quote was in the article, "This is the greatest day in California history." I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand how this can be. See, Adam and Eve are sitting in paradise. They have what you and I could never have imagined. No stress, no anger, no depression, no pain, no grief, no work, no taxes, no nothing. They just get up every day and it's good. It's good. All right, wouldn't that be cool? All right? Just get up and it's good. Hey, where do you want to go to eat? Oh, never mind. Here it is. I mean, everything is just perfect. Every moment of every day. And Adam and Eve said, we want something better. There's got to be something better than this. And there was a price to be paid. Listen, this is just a sidelight because I don't have time to go into this. But in Genesis 19, this is the best example of this. It's the story of Lot. Does anybody know about Lot and his wife? If you do, great. If you don't, you can read the story. But this story illustrates this better than anything else, that once you and I start down the road of disobedience in our relationship with God, you will go further than you wanted to go, and you'll stay longer than you wanted to stay, and you'll pay far more than you ever thought you'd have to pay. And it all starts with one step. And that's what Adam found out. So when God shows up in the garden to talk to them about their disobedience, he starts off with the snake. He lays into the snake. But we're going to go into verse 16 first. He says to Eve, because of your sin, I'm going to greatly increase the pain of childbearing. Now, listen, I've never had a child, so I really can't answer to this. So, ladies, I'll let you help me. Does it hurt to have a baby? OK. All right. I'm just making sure. You want to know where it came from? Right here. You want to know where all sin, sickness, pain, anger, depression, where it all came from? It all came from one decision. It all came from Adam's decision of disobedience, and you and I are paying the consequences of that sin down to this very day. Now, I don't know if originally childbearing was meant to be painless. Maybe. I don't know, but I will tell you the word God uses here just to show you that God's really angry about disobedience. He says, I will greatly increase your pain. Not a little bit. There's a price to be paid for Eve's disobedience. And then he says, your desire will be for your husband. Now, ladies, you're going to have to really stick with me here. All right, I'll let you have the laugh earlier. Okay. The word that is used there means dominion, all right? And immediately women start bristling. The word, even in the middle of this curse, the word means protection. Now, wasn't that what Adam was supposed to do for Eve in the first place? He was supposed to protect her. And God is telling her now, from here on out, this is how this is going to work. The man will have dominion over you. But it's not a bad word. In fact, when it says your husband will have dominion over you, the Hebrew definition is about the size of a computer screen. It's like nobody knows what to do with this word. Husband. How hard of a word can that be? The actual word translated is the word champion. Now, let me ask you something. Men, if we acted like champions in our house, and I'll let you define that spiritually, emotionally, responsibility, parenting. If we acted like champions, what woman wouldn't love you? Ladies, let me ask you a question. If you treated your husband like a champion, what man couldn't resist that? Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you what God's plan is. Everybody got that part? All right, let's move on. Let's look at some more curses. Then he moves to Adam. He says, Adam, because of you, not only are you going to get cursed, the whole ground. From now on, you want to know why you have to go to work? You want to know why we sweat? You want to know why there's never enough money? Because God said, because of Adam, what you've done, no longer will the corn happen and the tomatoes happen and the fruit happen. You're going to work your tail off and you're going to get lots of thorns and thistles out of the deal. So it all fell apart. It's all a part of this curse. And then he says, you came from dust and you're going back to dust. Now, what's significant of that? Well, first of all, it takes us back to creation. If you go back and read in Genesis 2, the story of creation, how did God make Adam? Scooped up dirt from the ground, formed him into a shape, and breathed into him. Adam was meant to live forever. He was not meant to suffer. There was not meant to be death. There was not meant to be disease. All of that is a product of this sin choice. So how does Adam's cost impact us today? Well, there's interest to be paid. I'm not blaming Adam. Did I inherit Adam's sin? Yeah, Psalm 51 makes that very clear. Psalm 51, I think it's in verse 15, says that we inherited Adam's sin nature. So I'm still paying for that. But I continue to borrow. It's not only I can't pay Adam's back, but I'm making the debt worse. And I can't even pay the original principal. And now I need a bailout. You want to know why Jesus came? See, you're not going to understand the cross unless you understand the curse. And the curse won't make any sense unless you understand creation. Maybe that's why when these wise men come into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and they hear the message, they say, we've seen the star, we know the Messiah has been born. Everybody's so excited because they know the debt has been building for 4,000 years. That moves us to the second, and that's our cost. Now, we talk about this debt issue in our own culture. We talk about a national debt and how we've racked up numbers that our children and their children and their children and their children could never pay. That's probably true. But that's the least of our concerns because we've racked up a sin debt like that. I want you to think about this. 6,000 years of compounded sin. What's that look like? How many sins did Adam commit? How many sins did his son commit? How many sins did his son commit? By the time you get to us, do you see what the picture looks like? What a compounded mess. Now, just because this is how my little mind works, I did some research, okay? This side of the room right here, roughly, or this side of the room, roughly, all right? This is all it takes to get me back to Adam. If you look at history, According to just a basic biological time clock, I have 170 grandfathers back to Adam. Grandfather, 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 Adam. Now, that's not so long when you think about it, is it? I could put my entire family line right here, all my grandpas, right back to Adam. And all of that sin that they've all committed has stacked up through the years. And now there comes a time when the price has to be paid. Now listen, when I think about an inheritance, I think of something good, don't you? But let me ask you this. How many of you inherited something from your parents that you wish you hadn't have? Nobody. Nobody. All right. Yeah. Attitude, anger, whatever, all right? Yeah. When you think of an inheritance, you're thinking, man, I'm getting something good out of this deal. Yeah, but we inherited a lot of bad. So what did I get from Grandpa Adam? Oh, I got this sin nature. I got this whole mess. Thanks, Pop. Thanks for everything. What a gift. That's what Adam has passed down to us, and we have multiplied over the years. We have continued to build up this sin problem. Johnny Carson, one of the great comedians, entertainers of all time. New book out about Johnny Carson. I don't know if you've seen it. But in his own words, Johnny Carson said, I was a horrible husband. I was a terrible dad. He was very sexually unfaithful throughout his entire life. When he died, he was estranged from his fourth wife. No friends or family or children came to see him in the hospital. He died alone, and they didn't even have a funeral for him. Now, this is a guy that made hundreds of millions of people laugh. All of us went to bed laughing with Johnny Carson. How many lives did he impact? And yet at the end of the day, he had no plan for his own debt that he had built up, his own sin nature. Now listen, if you're an environmentalist, I do have good news for you today. You're gonna like this. This is from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. No telling how much we paid for that group. But nonetheless, This is their newest statement. They said the global warming crisis is over. Planetary emergency over. So you can relax. Just take the plastic bottle and chuck it somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I'm reading the story. I'm reading the story, and I'm going to tell you where it took me. Immediately, I went to 2 Peter 3, where it talks about what happens at the end of time. That the world's going to come apart. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be fire. There's going to be famine. Jesus talked about it in Luke 21. He said there'll be famine and floods and wars and rumors of wars. Things aren't coming together. Things are blowing up. The crisis isn't over. The crisis is just beginning. And you and I need to be prepared for that. So how do I face the cost of my sin? Well, it's personal, it's family, and it's eternal. There's a whole lot of people that are involved, but every decision I make has a cost. That leads us to the third, and that is God's cost. You know, listen, I'm not in favor of war. I realize I should have clarified this more last night, but, you know, Saturday night, you just go for it. But, you know, I'm not in favor of war. But when you look at what's going on in the world today, you look at the civil war in South Sudan, in Syria, in Egypt, dozens of other places around the world. And then we come out in Iraq. You know, we lost Iraq again. We come out with a statement like this. We are going to support you. We're just not going to send any troops. Okay. So you're starving to death. And I tell you, I am with you 100%. I'm just never going to send you any food. I'll tell you what we're going to do. While you're starving to death, we're going to have a parade to remember you. What do you do? Does that make sense to anybody? Listen, we know your children are being slaughtered, but we're with you, man. You can count on us. Now, I didn't tell you that story to throw the government under the bus. I told you the story for this reason. God did not leave us that way. God said, the only answer to this problem is me. And I'm going to have to pay the price. The only way this sin debt gets erased, the only way the principal gets paid and the interest gets wiped away is if I come and pay the price. So Jesus steps into time to pay off my debt and to pay off your debt. Now listen to me. If you're cursing yourself now, it's your choice. Because you're not living under Adam's curse anymore. That curse is still out there. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't live under that curse. But you can keep yourself there. Am I right? You have the choice to be cursed by God or blessed by God, depending on the decisions you make. And if you've not accepted Jesus, this is the time. Listen, we got people here. We'll baptize you today. We'll get you started today. We'll get you connected into a Bible study, a prayer group, a connection group, so you can start making choices, because one choice can change everything. And what it cost God was pretty serious. Look at the passage itself. It says, so God curses Satan, and I'm in verse 15. He says, I will put hatred between you and the woman. Again, I think that's pretty much a general given today. Most of us still hate snakes. But then the next sentence is a little tricky. Between your offspring and her offspring. Okay, it's talking about the descendants of the serpent. But the word that is used for Eve is not offspring. The word is seed. Now, I'm not real good with biology, but females don't have seeds. Is that true? All right, come on. Work with me here. I will put hatred between Satan, your seed, and Eve's seed. He's talking about Jesus right out of the gate. He's saying, in fact, the word is loathing. The word is execrate. I've never even seen the word before. It means to loathe more than anything in the world. And it says, God loathes Satan for what he has done. And there will always be a hatred between God, God's people, and Satan. And here we are, 2,000 years on the backside of the cross, and we're still processing that. And then this last sentence, he said, it says, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, if I was writing it, I would have written that the other way, because I would have ended with the victory. I would have said, Satan, you're going to wound his heel, and we're going to kick your butt. That's how I would have wrote it. I'm just telling you. But he says, God first. He said, Satan, God's going to crush your head. Romans 16:19, maybe one of the great promise passages in all of Scripture, says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. It's through the cross. It's through the blood. But you and I get to be a part of destroying what Satan has done to all of us. Wow. So how does God's cost impact us? He came to reverse the curse, to cancel the debt, to give me a purpose to live, a reason to celebrate. One more story. I read this past week that the state of Washington has banned all youth pastors from public schools. Now, throughout time, youth pastors have gone to school. All right, it is a taxpayer's place, but that's for another time. But I got to thinking about why they would do this. I read the article and it said what a dangerous thing it was and what a slippery slope and how dangerous it was for the kids. I got to thinking about what might happen. I mean, you've got some youth pastor in there. He tells the kids to honor their mother and father. Can you imagine what would happen? Or some youth pastor tells the kid how to properly respect a teacher, or maybe how not to steal from one another. I mean, you get that kind of stuff going and you could destroy a school system completely. Now, I'll point out that marijuana is legal in the state of Washington, but youth pastors going to school is not. Now, Isaiah warned us about this long time ago, chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah said, when things get like this, he said, look out. He uses the word woe. Look out when people call evil good and good evil.